T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
Hello and welcome to the PDGA Radio News for the week of March 11th, 2008. Once again, I'm your host, Steve Kaczynski, and on this week's program, I've got full results from the first national tour event of the 08 season. It was the Memorial presented by Discraft, held in Arizona this past weekend. I'll also have an interview from Dan Ginley, the tournament director. And as if that's not enough, I've got results from other tournaments throughout the disc golf world, a preview of some upcoming tournament action, an interview with former PDGA board member Terry Calhoun about a new website he has running, and somehow I'll even find room to squeeze in a 60-second clinic on how to practice your putting. That and likely some other news and information all coming your way in this edition of PDGA Radio News, being brought to you by the PDGA, Discraft, the International Disc Golf Center, and Innova Champion Discs. Sometimes it's difficult to believe that 25 years have passed since Innova's Dave Dunapace created the world's first true golf disc. Those triangular rim discs were faster and more accurate, immediately commanding the attention of all who played. Tournament players instantly recognized that Innova discs provide an undeniable competitive advantage, and our discs have since been used to win more major titles than all other brands combined. Our love for the game remains strong. Innova Champion, celebrating 25 years as the industry leader in disc golf.
And we're being joined now on PDGA Radio News by Dan Ginley, tournament director of the Memorial. It's the big national tour event. It kicks off the season, and this year it just concluded with Dave Feldberg winning for the men and Valerie Jenkins on the women's side. We'll have more on that with the results later on in the program. But first off, thanks for joining us, Dan. I know it was a busy weekend for you, especially playing and running the first national tour event of the year.
Yeah, it takes a lot of work, but I definitely don't. It's not me that's doing, you know, most of the work. We've got so many volunteers that it's allowed me to free up and even compete, which I thank very much to most and all of the, you know, the volunteers that we have from the Arizona Disc Golf Club.
Let's talk about the results real quickly. Just it was a real dramatic, really good disc golf being played all weekend long, and Feldberg coming back from three shots behind over on Saturday, the final round, to get the victory over Schultz. How was that perceived by the fans out there and you as the staff? I mean, it was a great finish to a great tournament.
Oh, definitely. We didn't get the wins that traditionally pop up around this time of year, and so the course was set up pretty easy. Because we had a lot of construction, we had to do some changes, so we knew that we were going to get really high scores this year. And David just had a mission. He came out even after I think I jumped in halfway through after Barry had aced, and everybody was giving him dollars. It was quite a view. There was probably 200-300 people. But David came in clutch and hit some really, really good putts down the stretch. The one I think that I saw maybe on the front page of the PDGA, he hit, say, a 50-55 footer under the trees on his knees. And I was walking with him, and he told me he really wanted to. He's like, I'm going to two-peat. And he did it. But I think also, you know, that Barry just had a couple bad breaks here and there, and he just didn't take advantage of it. But the crowd loved it. We had an awesome crowd, and there was a lot of people pulling for Barry as well as David.
All right, let's try to touch on the other divisions. The amateur field, you did something a little unique this year. First off, you only had the amateur, no intermediate division. And then you had no post-event payout, just players' package and trophies. Explain that and how it went over with the players.
Well, I would explain it as we've almost always tried to mimic off of ball golf, and we are fortunate enough to be in a position where we are a big event, and we're not having too much of a problem getting people to come to our event. And we've had a lot of sandbagging issues, and in most traditionally all ball golf, Tiger Woods played many, many years winning just trophies in a player's package. So I think a lot of people didn't understand at first, but do know now that we took basically the payout that we would have given, and we gave it back to everybody as they checked in. They basically got about $150, $170 player's package. I think it was four discs, I think an Ultra Star, a backpack and silk screen, and miscellaneous stuff in it, and that's kind of what we're shooting for this big event. That's the way it needs to go, and I know for a fact the local sandbaggers around here played open, and unfortunately that's what it took to get them to do it. So it was a big test, and we succeeded, and we're gonna try more and more next year to even give the players a bigger players package. I'm sorry, I didn't touch on the intermediate and stuff. Our club had been kind of mentioning that most large amateur events were just advanced only, and so we tried to do that too, and I think it really was successful.
You were talking players' packages, of course. They're usually provided by the sponsors, so why don't you go ahead and take this chance and recognize some of your great sponsors?
Well, thank you. You're right. Most of it's easy to do when you've got a company like Discraft from Detroit, actually, Wixom. I've been with them for a long time and have got a great relationships with them. So they give us an insane amount of support with merchandise and stuff. So it's a little easier to be giving, you know, a great full amount of stuff. I think we've got a Crystal Challenger that has never been ran before. I don't think, you know, they might release them for other tournaments after this, but they had a ghost stamp that was in the amp package that I was dying for, and we didn't have enough, so I didn't get one. But Discraft also always puts out a new disc, and we opened up with the Discraft Force, which is just a fatter rim disc and has great, great glide with a lot of stability. So people were really excited about that, too. And I think that a lot of the people that come to our event, you know, have been here 4, 5, 6, 10 years, and they look forward to seeing that new disc from Discraft. But, yeah, we couldn't even go anywhere without Discraft. That is the main sponsor. And we thank Jim and Gail very much.
All right, and one more division we'll touch on, and it is your division. It's a chance for you to toot your own horn. The Masters division picked up a second big win in a row. You also had the Gentleman's Challenge in Vegas the week before. So congratulations, and it was hard fought over one of your best friends, huh?
Absolutely. Mike Mill and I got to battle him at both events. He slipped and Rory Self got second in Vegas, but Mike Millen is an incredibly good thrower. He's got so much power, which really leads to good scores out here in the West. But we had, I believe it was about 55 open, I mean Masters, excuse me, but I won pretty much the same money as I did at the Gentlemen's Club because we really focus on the one main event, is the Open. You know, we put as much money as we can into the Open, and it kind of hurts us, but I'm happy with the win, whether I won $1,000 or $2,000. It was it's always fun. People that run tournaments can understand that you're not all there, but when you're lucky enough to have a great wife and a good club that's supporting me, I don't usually have to worry while I'm out playing. I'm very fortunate. I couldn't imagine being where I'd be without these people. They when they know I'm teeing off, they're just going crazy. What can I do for you, Danny? Don't worry about it. Just phone off. We're taking care of everything, and they do. It's fantastic. I couldn't thank them enough.
And this year you also went with the Thursday through Saturday, given the players a travel day on Sunday. It seems like a good idea. Did players like that?
It's mixed. It's definitely mixed. I had people kind of, you know, tell me they didn't like it. It was hurting them a little, and then I had people think it was great. So it's 50-50 thing, but I really think, especially until we can take this game to the next level where we'll have areas that are private for courses, that it's nice to do, because not only giving them the Sunday travel, but you also are not in the park on a crazy Sunday. Sunday's when everybody comes out. And our park, it's basically a green belt that runs from the Salt River over at ASU, a major college, and it goes north into Scottsdale, and it's a, you know, a retention area for floods. And so it has sidewalks through it, and it's very active. So much bike riding, rollerblading, joggers. So that aspect, we did it for a lot of reasons, trying to get it over, you know, get out of Sundays and give people a travel day. And I think this was the best memorial we've ran, and a lot of it, in my opinion, was because we ended on Saturday.
It will go down as a great memorial, a great tournament, and a great start to the 2008 National Tour season. Thanks a lot, Dan, for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon, I'm sure.
You're welcome. Thank you very much. And we can't wait to have everybody back next year. We'll be bigger and better.
Hey, disc golfers. It's Brian Sullivan. Now, I've been promoting disc golf for over 10 years on the web, on TV, in magazines, and on the radio show. Today, I want to talk about my favorite disc golf company, Discraft. See, they've got this brand new driver out. It's called the Force. And they're saying that it's the fastest disc on the planet. Now, I haven't tested it side by side with a bunch of other discs, but what I can say is this: it goes way far. So try one yourself. The Force. It's a driver from Discraft, makers of the game's most consistent plastic.
Ah, yes, time now for everyone's favorite part of the PDGA Radio News program. It's the 60-Second Clinic. We are joined again this week by Brian Schweberger, and this week he'll describe how he practices putting, and he'll give you tips to help you improve.
When I'm practice putting, I have two baskets in my backyard. One's a disc catcher with instead of chains, and the other one's a chain skill shot, a little smaller. I like to use that, have the chain skill shot as one of my practice baskets because it's a little smaller. It makes me focus on a tighter area. And I like the disc catchers because a lot of courses have disc catchers on them, and I can get used to the sweet spots for those style baskets. When I'm practice putting, I've got 10 to 15 discs sitting in my basket, and my baskets are set about 28 feet apart. I rarely practice outside of 28 feet because most of your strokes in a tournament are putting, and if you can't make the putts 28 feet and in, you're just going to have to make a shorter putt after that anyways usually, so I rarely practice putting outside of 28 feet. I just go back and forth with my 10 to 15 putters, and I probably do about 200 putts a day at least, and if I'm not having practice in a couple of days, I'll probably do 200-400 putts in a day. But with that many discs, it really doesn't take that long. It takes about a half hour to 45 minutes. But in the long run, it definitely shaves strokes off of your turnaround.
That's Brian Schweberger, a North Carolina pro disc golfer and member of Team Innova, with this week's 60-Second Clinic. Join us next week as he'll help us with the mental aspects of disc golf. Time now for the recap of this past weekend's PDGA tournament action. I briefly mentioned some of the results from the Memorial earlier, but again, it was David Feldberg shooting a bogey-free 14-under in the final round to beat out Barry Schultz. Feldberg erased a three-shot deficit during the final round to win by 2 over Schultz, who carded not one but 2 aces during the tournament. Feldberg's final round is unofficially rated at 1095. That would make it the highest rated round ever for that difficult of a course. Eric McCabe continued his strong early season, finishing in third place, followed by Nate Doss in fourth, and the champ, Ken Climo, a respectable fifth. On the women's side, it was Valerie Jenkins picking up the win by three over Des Redding. Liz Lopez finished in third. Dan Ginley won for the second straight week in the Masters division. Harvey Brandt won the Grand Masters title, and it was David Taylor Jr. winning the amateur division. In other action across the disc golf world, Jeremy Kohling shot 1,000-plus rated golf over the weekend to win the advanced division at the 25th annual Dogwood Crosstown Classic in North Carolina. Adam Olson won in Illinois. Alan Shack won the Lumberjack Open in Michigan. Phil Arthur won in Georgia. And Mike Misakian notched a win in Minnesota. In PDGA news, this past week's Memorial Tournament in Arizona not only kicked off the 2008 National Tour season, but was also the first qualifier for the inaugural Drive for the Championship, proudly sponsored by Woodchuck Draft Cider. The 9 National Tour events will be the only qualifiers for the Drive, with points awarded based on order of finish. A player's top 4 points totals from the 9 qualifiers will be used to rank the top 30 men and top 10 women, who can then compete in the Drive for the Championship. That will take place during the season's last 3 major events. They are the Pro Worlds, U.S. Disc Golf Championships, and the Players' Cup. After the Players' Cup, the male and female with the most points will be named the Woodchuck Cider National Tour Points Series Champion and be awarded the winner's share of the $8,000 overall prize pool. The 2008 Drive for the Championship is a precursor to the PDGA Disc Golf Grand Slam. That is set to begin in 2009. More details on that will be announced later this year. More information on the Woodchuck Drive for the Championship can be found online at pdga.com. And we'll take this chance to remind you of this weekend's disc golf action across the world. The pros have an A-tier in Florida with the Melbourne Open. Ams have an A-tier in California with the St. Patrick's Classic. The Clash at the Corn Palace ensues on Saturday in Mitchell, South Dakota. March Madness Disc Golf Style will take place in Columbus, Ohio. Perth, Australia will be holding the Perth Open this weekend. The 6th annual Chile Open is in Lorach, Germany, and it's the Unity Summit Open in Appling, Georgia. Located on the scenic shores of Clark's Hill Lake in Columbia County, Georgia, is the mecca of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center, a must-see for anyone who's ever played the sport. With a full-service pro shop, state-of-the-art training center, and 2 championship-caliber courses, it will challenge and improve every aspect of your game. Also, visit the Ed Hedrick Memorial Museum, home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and don't forget about the IDGC monthly tournaments the first Saturday of every month. Yes, it's all at the world's premier destination for the sport of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center. PDGA Radio News is being brought to you this week by the International Disc Golf Center, Innova Champion Discs, Discraft, and the PDGA. We continue with an interview about a new social website, much like Facebook or MySpace, but this one is dedicated specifically to disc golfers. It's operated by Terry Calhoun, PDGA number 15117. Terry has had a long history in disc golf, including serving on the PDGA Board of Directors from 2001 through 2006. We caught up with Terry while he was vacationing in China to talk about his new site, Disc Golfers Are Us. Here are parts of that conversation.
Few people remember because the sport is growing so quickly, but back in about 2000, 2001, before I went on the PDGA Board, I had the 4th or 5th most popular website on the internet about disc golf. It was called discgolfing.com. And And it was right behind PDGADiscGolf.com, Disc Life, and something else in terms of the number of hits and links and things like that. I closed the site down because when I went on the board of directors of the PDGA, because yeah, I was making a little bit of money from it, and I didn't think it was appropriate to have a financial stake in the sport and be on the board of directors as well. So when I left the board in August of 2006, I figured I'd probably do something else on the web. With disc golf, I just didn't know what. Now, part of my day job, I get to study anything that's changing that affects higher education, and one of those things is information technology. So I, for the last year and a half, 4 years, I've written a weekly column on IT. I'm not so much a hands-on IT person as someone who just studies it and enjoys using it. And as I've familiarized myself for part of my day job with social networks and realized that there is some value to things like Facebook, I finally this fall concluded that a social network for disc golfers would be a really good thing for the sport, bringing together people online who really share a passion but don't get to see each other very often. So I decided to contribute my Christmas vacation to building such a site. The website is Disc Golfers Are Us, and the web address is discgolfersare.us. You put a www in front of that, www.discgolfersare.us. Well, I believe the first day I invited anybody in was December 18th, and I think I got lucky with the timing. First, I invited a lot of people I know, 40 or 50 people, who are very reasonable, mature, calm kinds of people, because one of the things I wanted to do with this site was to keep it the tone calm, to make it a nice, friendly, safe place for people to feel comfortable. And I figured if I got a little bit of a mass of people in who are like that by nature, then that they would help me keep the site that way. And I've been really pleased with how well the tone of the site's maintained. But I think I got lucky with timing. I think just when I started to tell a lot of people about it, I found a lot of college-age kids who were home for Christmas, living in their parents' houses, kind of bored out of their skulls, and who knew about Facebook, knew about social networking, and picked it up as something that was fun and started telling other people about it. We just last night passed the 3,000th member. We are for 3,010 members right now. They've shared 17,000 photographs, more than 500 videos, and they've created more than 400 individual clubs on all sorts of things, like disc golfers who love great beer and the Hudson Mills Metro Parks, and you name it. And we have clubs from Austria. We have clubs from Russia. we have a club in Thailand. I mean, it's become a really nice worldwide thing as well.
Again, you're listening to PDGA Radio News. I'm Steve Kaczynski. This is a conversation I had with Terry Calhoun, operator of Disc Golfers Are Us, a free social networking site made specifically for disc golfers. Up next, Terry tells us about some promotions he has run over the past several months.
Early on in the site, I had some plastic and a basket laying around the house that I'd won in various ways or had left over, and I decided to hold some virtual jumbo tosses, or what in held down south they call rings of fire. And those were fun. People liked them, and I intend to do more of them. I can't manage such a thing while I'm over here in China, but when I get back, I'll do some more. And I did one for 500 members. I did one for 1,000. And then at 1,000, who was it? Zone Ribbon contacted me and said, look, can we contribute some prizes for your 5,000th member? And then I thought I got the idea from them of basically trading some banner space on the site to vendors of various kinds in return for their promise to contribute goodies for the world's largest virtual jumbo toss shortly after we hit the 5,000th member. And I think we have 15 or 20 different retailers and wholesalers who have pledged prizes for that now. And if the growth curve continues to hold like it has been, I think we'll do that probably in early May.
And finally, I asked Terry what kind of unique ways he thinks people may use his site.
The capacity to share photographs, to have real-time messaging, to share videos, and to have the live chat, I think lends itself to kind of swarm or cluster reporting of disc golf events where a number of people are sending in, texting in messages, reporting on the final line of a tournament, and sending in photos from your cell phones, that kind of thing.
That was Terry Calhoun sneaking away from his vacation in China to speak with PDGA Radio News about his new social networking website found online at www.discgolfersare.us.
Looking for official PDGA merchandise? Look no further than PDGAstore.com, your official online source for instructional books and DVDs, collectible discs, tournament supplies, stylish PDGA apparel, the newly released 2007 Pro Worlds DVD, and of course, the ever so valuable PDGA membership. Go online to PDGAstore.com, buy some cool new gear, and take the sport you love to even higher levels.
Well, it's just about time for this edition of PDGA Radio News to come to a close. But first, I want to remind you to make sure to catch next week's program, as I'll have a very special interview with David Feldberg, winner of this past weekend's Memorial Tournament. Also, results from this upcoming weekend and a whole lot more, including, hopefully, a new segment to recognize one of the toughest achievements in disc golf, a hole-in-one or ace in a PDGA tournament setting. So if you're a tournament director or the lucky one who performs such a feat, let me and the show know so we can help you brag to the rest of the disc golf world. We may not all be Barry Schultz and get two aces in one weekend, but hey, that doesn't mean we can't get recognition when our dream shot finally becomes reality. So email any tournament ace information to pdgaradio@pdga.com, and I'll be sure to get it on a future episode. Until next time, I'm Steve Kaczynski for the PDGA Radio News.
The PDGA Radio News is hosted and produced by Steve Kaczynski, exclusively in contract with the Professional Disc Golf Association. Advertising inquiries, along with comments about the show or programming ideas, may be sent to the host via email at pdga.radio@yahoo.com or by contacting the PDGA office. All sound effects and production music used with permission from Magic's Music Maker and A1FreeSoundEffects.com. All content is otherwise exclusively owned and copyrighted by the Professional Disc Golf Association and the producer.
Goodbye.